Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Older Americans look at all these episodes and say, look, the real America is not the one that did the bad things. It's the America that moved beyond it.
Electronic media are like the crack of a cedia. They give it its great power and force.
And if we start to make the Bible a checklist of all the things that are culturally acceptable and culturally approved, then we should be pretty suspicious that what we're dealing with is not the Bible.
We cannot be claimed by identity politics or any other competing ideology that's vying for our allegiance. And this is why allegiance to Christ is the supreme identity maker for us.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
We have long extolled the benefits of Christian apologetics in starting and having conversations with unbelievers, skeptics, the critics of Christianity. But do those benefits extend to the Christian apologist himself or herself? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the benefits of Christian apologetics with Dr. Nancy Almodovar, author of the new book, Reasons to Reason. A little bit later, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 with Pastor Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel. In Hour 2, we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fakencher about the traditions of men in Mark chapter 7. Joining us to discuss the benefits of Christian apologetics, Dr. Nancy Almodovar. She's adjunct professor of religion at Park University and author of the new book, Reasons to Reason. Nancy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Pastor Todd.
You talk about the boomerang effect of Christian apologetics. What is that?
Oh, it's the effect that comes back to you when you study apologetics, just like when you throw a boomerang. It's supposed to come back to you if you throw it well. So to the benefits of studying apologetics and learning how to defend the faith actually comes back to the Christian studying apologetics. And it begins to equip them, to encourage them, to strengthen them in their faith.
What is apologetics?
It is offering a reason for what you believe and why you believe it. It is the study of those reasons, and actually apologia means a defense. So it's learning that defense to share with those who are asking you what you believe. And then, well, why do you believe that?
What is apologetics not?
It's not winning the argument. When I began in apologetics, a lot of people thought in class that it was all about being able to win the argument, win the day, and that was that. It's not. It's about removing obstacles to the faith that the person may have. But it's also not about just strictly talking your favorite doctrine. It's not talking about your denominational peculiarities. And it's not about your testimony, because apologetics has to be grounded in Scripture, the whole of Scripture, but also must be grounded in the objective truths of Scripture.
You say, and you can go into a little more detail, that apologetics is not about debate. What do you mean?
Again, it's really not winning the argument. So many times we look at apologists and they're on a stage. One podium is the Christian side, one podium is the other religion, and it's about trying to win the audience to your side. Apologetics is not this formal style debate. It is talking with the person you're with, respectfully answering their questions, and removing their reasons not to believe. So you're engaging in reasoning, but you're offering legitimate reasons why you believe what you believe about Jesus Christ. And so as they question you and they're putting up reasons that they don't believe. So in your answers, you're actually kind of subverting the ground on which they have their reason. And then you remove the reason. And Dr. Montgomery always explained it that we were to think about it as removing hurdles. I like to think about it as a stone pathway to the door of salvation, which is Christ. And as you go on each step, you're bringing them closer and closer to Christ. And then at that door, it says, whosoever will may enter. And so apologetics is really removing their arguments. It's removing whatever reasons they think are logical to not believe in Christianity. And then by removing those, you don't want to leave a vacuum. You want to bring in the reason why to believe in Christianity.
So why should we have a defense ready?
Well, for one, the Bible tells us to. Peter tells us to have an answer for the hope that is in you. When Scripture tells us to do something, we should do it. Not being legalistic here, it's just one of the things God's word tells us. We should have a ready defense. Every field of study, whether you're going to just play golf or you're going to become a scientist, has the tools you need to learn about to engage in that field in a quality manner. Especially if you're going to be a doctor. You have professors you listen to. You have textbooks you read. You have anatomy that you have to learn. So we set up those things to teach a person to care for the body. How much more to care for the soul? To engage with others who don't know Christ yet. Every Christian needs to actually study, one, the Scriptures, be a student of God's Word, and then study the reasons why these things are true. Get yourself a good apologetics teacher, or start watching things online, or take a few classes, and learn the reasons we can trust what God's word says. So just like a doctor is going to go to a good school to learn, a Christian needs to be a student of God's word and other apologists who've come before them and study what they've written, what they've said, and learn from them so that they have that defense ready in their head. What I don't mean is have a preconceived argument in your head. You have a ready defense, but don't try to figure out what the argument will be. It'll never happen the way you think it might. But have the basics in your mind and in your heart so that you can call them up when you need to in the conversation.
What is the danger of a subjective form of apologetics?
Simple. You can't prove it. I talked about this last week when we discussed they were eyewitnesses. Subjective arguments for the faith really fall flat on their face. because you can't prove something that's subjective. Subjective is not based in fact, it's based in feelings. So if you're going to go towards your testimony as proof, well, the Jehovah's Witness ringing your doorbell with the watchtower in their arm is going to have a subjective approach as well. Who wins the argument then? Their feelings or your feelings? So you need to be very prepared with the objective truths that we have in the scriptures and kind of leave your testimony at the door. Literally, if you're on your porch with the Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Sikh or Hindu or Muslim or Mormon, you've got to leave your feelings aside because facts are facts. Your feelings are not facts.
What are the evidences for Christ's resurrection and how do they strengthen the Christian apologist, him or herself?
One of the evidences is obviously the testimony in the Word of God. Christians hold that the Bible is God's Word. But for me, I always would question why, where, what, how. So when I started studying apologetics, Dr. Montgomery went straight into evidence, documentary evidence. We have, I'm going to pull up the chart in my book right now. We have so many more copies that are closest to the originals than any other work of antiquity. We have roughly within a time span of 30 years from the ascension of Christ to about the year 200, we have well over 5,000 copies of the scriptures. Dr. Montgomery once said that if we took the sermons from the early church fathers to about the year 300, we could actually put the Bible together just on the verses that they wrote in their sermons. And we might be missing 20 or 30 verses from the New Testament. That's pretty remarkable that it's that close, because the next close copy is Homer's Iliad. It's only 500 years away from the original writing. So the New Testament has closer evidence. When I realized that we had actual documentary evidence for the faith, that it wasn't just fables or fairy tales, but actual facts, that's when my faith was strengthened. When I realized that the New Testament was based on evidence. And it's not what the History Channel or Discovery Channel say, that Constantine decided what was going to be the New Testament. This evidence goes prior to Constantine. We can read the New Testament by even reading the early church fathers. And so this is the evidence that we have for the New Testament being true to the originals. And what that did for me, and in talking with others who have gotten engaged in apologetics, it actually gives a basis for believing God's word to be true in the sense that it's reliable. Of course, the Holy Spirit must work in our hearts to believe it to be true, but this evidence he's given. We have it. So why not use it?
Why does apologetics begin with the study of God's word?
Scripture says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said to the Corinthians, it's in the foolishness of preaching that God calls people to himself. So we need to begin and end with scripture. In between, you might need to use some of the documentary evidence, some other arguments for the faith. But in reality, what will bring them to faith? The gospel. God has said that he works in word and sacraments. Sacraments are beautiful pictures of the gospel that are tangible. We can see, we can touch. We see bread, we touch wine, we touch water. And the scriptures are what God has decided are what he's going to use to give true faith. So even in apologetics, you've got to work with the scriptures. You've got to make sure that you are proclaiming his word to whoever, even if it offends. And listen, I can offend people all the time in various ways. Probably shouldn't do that, but it happens. However, God's word is what we as believers need to bring to the discussion, no matter how much it may offend, because God has said his word is the power for salvation.
We're discussing the benefits of Christian apologetics with Dr. Nancy Almodovar. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned, because at the end of this interview, we're going to give away copies of Nancy's latest books, Reasons to Reason and They Were Eyewitnesses. On the other side, how does apologetics expose the apologist to other worldviews?
There are competing stories, competing futures, and so we have competing hopes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
There are the hopes that the world offers, which are uncertain and which are limited to this life only and which offer no meaning in the midst of suffering. And then there is, on the other hand, a Christian hope which is sure and which has an extended horizon. It pushes past even your death and the grave, and it upholds us in the midst of suffering. There's a difference between the way the world hopes and the way the church hopes.
For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc., you can watch an on-demand video stream of this year's conference, including Pastor Wolfmiller's teaching, Making the Case for Christian Hope. Find out more at issuesetc.org or make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Are you looking for Christ-focused posters to adorn your walls? Ad Crucem has some suggestions. Come see our liturgical calendar, the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther's morning and evening prayers, the three ecumenical creeds, and our sacristy prayer. We also have an appropriate woodcut of Luther attending to plague victims in Wittenberg and another of him administering the sacraments. Stock up for the new school year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the benefits of Christian apologetics with Dr. Nancy Almodovar, author of the new book, Reasons to Reason. Nancy, how does apologetics expose us to other worldviews?
When I was learning apologetics, I also had to take world religions classes, and I didn't understand. Why do I need to know what they believe? What they don't believe isn't true. But unless you know what they believe, how do you present Christ to them in a way that they'll understand? See, different religions and different cultures that follow different religions, they have a different way of thinking. When you learn about these other religions, you understand where their thinking comes from and where it ends up. When I started doing the apologetics Zoom courses online, I began with world religions. I was supposed to speak at the LWML convention here in the Northwest, but then COVID happened. My presentation was about other religions, because if you know what, let's say, your Muslim neighbor believes, then you can answer the question they have, understanding their starting point. So if we learn these other religions, these other worldviews, we can better present Christ, because we can also then show them the difference. And one thing I've always said is that every other religion is man climbing the ladder to God. Christianity is God coming down as a man for humanity. And so once you learn what other religions and worldviews believe, you can better formulate your own discussion with them and give them, in perhaps a language they better understand, a reason to believe as well.
Why is it important to note that Peter's famous command to be ready with an answer for the faith is given to Christians who were suffering and facing persecution?
These people, these Christians, were literally on the front line. And they were going to answer, why won't they bow the knee to the God of their age? It's very similar today. We have the same. We need to bow to what others say we should believe. So we need to know why we won't. We need to know that Christ truly rose from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, and that when we die, we will be with him. When we are suffering, we need to recognize the faith that has been handed down to us is true. Because when we realize there are facts behind our faith, we can then rest assured in what God has said. And we then can also give an answer to the authorities that may be persecuting us. I mean, these people were regular people like us. They were going about their regular business, but they refused to worship Caesar. They refused to say he was Lord. And they were risking literally life and limb for the faith. So Peter was saying, have an answer, because you're going to get questioned. You're going to be challenged why you won't bow the knee to Caesar. In the same way, we need to have an answer that's ready as well, because people are going to ask, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you believe Jesus rose again from the dead, Nancy? And it just might come down one day to where our lives and limbs are on the line. And so we need to be ready with that answer as much as the Christians that Peter wrote directly to.
At the end of your book, you draw some insights from Jesus' exhortation to the seven churches in Revelation. What are those?
Well, there's a lot. But the one thing that I realized was endurance. Paul talks a lot about men who worked with him who didn't endure to the end. He talks about himself saying, I don't want to shipwreck my faith. One of the things that Jesus says in Revelation to each of the seven churches, whether they were doing the right thing or not, whether they were getting scolded or not, he still says to them, you are enduring to the end. And part of that endurance for most of the churches was that they weren't tolerating false teachings or false teachers. They were getting rid of them. They were removing them. The church at Ephesus, an example of that. They were not going to endure heresies, but they were enduring in the true faith to the end. And so the exhortations to each of these churches can be summarized simply by saying, you're enduring to the end. You're enduring to the end through trials and persecutions. So you receive a crown of life. You're enduring to the end through your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance. And Jesus said, I know you. They were known by Christ. And they were enduring to the end.
Finally, how is apologetics useful for speaking to those both outside and inside the church?
Most people know apologetics outside the church. They know, well, you're defending the faith to the Mormon or the Muslim or the Jehovah's Witness or some other religious group. A lot of people don't know apologetics is key within the church. Recently, I've been going through the early apologists, mostly the second century is what we've been looking at weekly in my class. And what I've noticed is those men wrote letters both to Caesars and proconsuls and governors defending the faith against the attacks of unbelievers, the accusations against Christians by unbelieving leaders and rulers and those who were trying to figure out this new sect called Christianity. But they didn't just write letters to them. They wrote letters to other churches. They wrote letters to each other. And what they were doing was saying, hey, I noticed you're teaching a little form of Gnosticism, some secret sayings of Jesus. And so they wrote against that, or they wrote against the idea of God talking to them apart from scripture, or they wrote against the ideas of Arius or the Donatists or these men who were bringing in heresies into the churches. Some people say 95% of the churches believed that there was a time when Jesus was not, as the saying goes by Arius himself. And so they had to fight against that. So you have different bishops like Melito of Sardis, and you have Athenagoras, and you have Athanasius, who are writing against these heresies within the church. The reason why we need to do that is because every one of these heresies breaks down the true faith. Suddenly, well, Jesus isn't God. Huh. Okay. He's just a creature like you and me. Well, then how does a creature in a fallen world pay for the sins of the world when a creature would have to pay for their own? Or perhaps Jesus didn't have a real body, it was a spiritual body, like lots of the Gnostics would say. Well, then how does he actually die for us and for our sins if he doesn't have an actual body? See, the moment you break down what Christianity teaches, you're breaking apart the Christian faith. And so these apologists, especially in the second century, have written things to point out to true believers, hey, we're warning you against this guy and this person and this false prophet. And, you know, you have like the modalists. They're running around like crazy nowadays. You have United Pentecostals who deny the Trinity. And you have other groups who deny the Trinity. We have to be able to defend the faith from within the faith, as well as defend the faith from outside attack. So I'm always saying that learning apologetics is twofold. You're going to learn to defend the faith against the heretics within, and then proclaim the faith to those who are coming from outside and attacking us or attacking the faith. So it's crucial that Christians know this particular tool, apologetics, to be able to use, whether it's defending the faith from within or without.
Dr. Nancy Almodovar is adjunct professor of religion at Park University, author of the new book, Reasons to Reason. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives and look for Reasons to Reason by Dr. Nancy Almodovar. Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me again.
All right. Caller number 3 will receive Dr. Almodovar's book, Reasons to Reason. And caller number 8 will get her book, They Were Eyewitnesses. Call now, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and you could win Reasons to Reason or They Were Eyewitnesses. Call during this break, 1-877-623-MYIE. Pastor Tom Baker is with us on the other side. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.